What does it look like when you're talking about community? Sometimes what you do affects somebody else in a very significant way. What we'd like to do is give you a picture of what community looks like. And the discovery came from Wendy about community. Larry.
Sometimes I lay under the moon. I thank God I'm breathing. And I pray, don't take me soon, 'cause I am here for a reason. Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds, I know someday it'll all turn around, because
Thank you.
We think about community. You know, oftentimes you've heard what goes around comes around. But in many times, the blessings of the Lord, they really do come around. Did you notice several things inside of this clip right here? What did you notice? Who was the first one? The construction worker. And it went all the way around. And you know what? That really tells us a big picture. When you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We're going to be looking out at something this morning. It's going to be called Work It Out. Work It Out. You ever have those moments that you just have to work things out? I mean, the other night, we're laying sound of bed, 11:30 at night, hear the wind blowing, the wind chimes, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of nowhere, woo, 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 our alarm goes off. What do? Do you pick up, get your shotgun? Do you run through the house? Has somebody invaded the house? All of a sudden, in the midst of the night, your eyes are just wide open. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? First thing you do, then all of a sudden you get up and start investigating. You go and you look and your back door is wide open. And when the back door is wide open, now do you have to go through the house and look at every closet to see if anybody's in there? All of a sudden, what do you have to do? You got to work it out. You got to work it out. Lo and behold, it's because somebody gone out the back door didn't close it well. That was the good news. That was the good news. But you had to work things out. Sometimes it works that way. Lying up there in the bed, all of a sudden, getting real good and comfortable, and all of a sudden, something hits you like you know, just like, you get a cramp in the foot. What do you do with the foot? You can't lay there. When that cramp got you, you're going to get up, and you're going to have to work it out. Work it out. See, there are things that happen in our life that you've got to work it out. And salvation is very much just like that. You have to work it out. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, not verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let me re-emphasize that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. What is He calling upon us to do? He's calling upon us to work it out. And so when we begin to think about that, some of us need to work it out in our marriages. Some of us need to work it out in feeding the hungry. Some of us need to work it out with clarity of mind with our friends and with our neighbors, because you need to work out salvation in a very real and poetic means. And there's a challenge. Your small group is facing a major mission project. And what are you to do? You're to look for the possibilities. Survey the opportunities. Compare the opportunities with the resources of your small group. Make a selection, create a timeline, and then work it out. Work it out. Because you see, all of us have got to work out our salvation. Now let me clarify something for you. You don't work for salvation, but you work because of salvation. And in light of that, then we got to ask ourselves the question, well, how are we doing? How are we doing in working out our salvation? Well, let's see. Let's check it out. Who wants to be picked on today? Okay, you're all on this one. Okay, you're ready now. You're training for the Olympics. Now that you're training for the Olympics, all the training that you did equals the amount of time that you had a meaningful conversation about Jesus Christ with someone this week. How long did you train? Are you ready? Are you ready to run for on the Olympics? Well, let's look at it another way. As we begin, let's just say now, if you were being paid $25 an hour, y'all want a job for $25 an hour? Any takers? Yeah, okay. A few of us want to jump in there. Oh, okay, we're going to pay you $25 an hour. Now you're going to pay $25 an hour for the time that you spent in meaningful conversation with somebody about Jesus Christ. How well did your family eat this week? Oh, they had T-bone steaks. Man, you did good then. Y'all had bologna, huh? No. I mean, you're thinking about it. You know, we're trying to work it out. Now, how long did you work this week in preparing for the challenges of next week? You see, you got to work it out. There's something about this. So how are you doing that? And that's what we're looking at when we read Philippians. Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you've always obeyed in not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How many of you are afraid? How many of you have an element inside of you? Y'all want fear? Hey, look. When that siren went off inside our house, 11:30 at night, I was alerted. And there was some blood that started stealing and boiling up in me because I didn't know what I was going to be facing in the next 30, 90 seconds. How challenging is your faith, your salvation, as you have been called to work it out? Do you work it out with fear? What is fear? Something that's overcome you? Something that makes the adrenaline flow? Are you working out your salvation trembling? In other words, have you been in that impression? Have you ever been in the midst of a wreck or almost in a wreck than just a matter of seconds? What did you do? Man, there was an element of, I give you one a little bit closer to home. You remember the first deer you killed? If so, some of you are going to remember this. It was probably 60 degrees and you froze, slapped to death because you just started shaking. We call it buck fever. I don't know what it is. It may just be an adrenaline rush. But you can be in 60 and 70 degree weathers and be freezing, slapped to death. What about in your faith? You can be here in a comfortable setting and then all of a sudden you begin just to shake. Because the presence of the Lord is grabbing hold of you. It was just like when Moses was out there in the wilderness, he was taking care of these stinking sheep. I mean, you know, they didn't smell good out there in the middle of some place. I mean, the sheep were out there, the wool, and all of a sudden he looked up and he saw this bush that was burning. And he went up close to it. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, Moses, take off your shoes. For the place where you stand is holy ground. He hit the dirt. Shaken. I'm afraid though that we've lost something in the midst of working our salvation. That we've lost the fear. That we don't tremble in the presence of a holy God. Children of Israel, when they went up to the Mount Sinai and God spoke out of the mountains, the children of Israel said, Moses, you go talk to him. I read this in my daily Bible reading this morning. He said, you go talk to him. Because if we go talk to him, he's going to kill us. And you know what God said about that? He said, they're right. They were right. There was fear. There was trembling. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that's what God wants us to capture inside of this. So therefore, in your small group, step up to the plate. It's time now to step up to the plate and believe that you can knock out a home run. Do you believe that what you do can really change the world? Do you believe that what's going on in your small group can literally impact the world? Listen, folks, I believe that it can. I believe you can affect one person. Y'all remember the movie? One guy affected one person. Are y'all ever critical? Y'all ever critical? I watched this movie 3 or 4 times, and you know what I saw every time? I saw this girl getting a quarter to put in the meter, and there was no car there. Okay, all right, just sometimes, you know, we're just a little bit critical about stuff that we see. But it happens. It happens. So therefore, what we want you to do is to realize out that God trusts you. And God is going to do something beyond your expectation. But He needs community. Listen, folks, we need to help out each other. And in the course of helping out each other, we're going to be doing what God wants us to do. And in fact, the Scripture says in Romans 8:28, it says, from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to Him and all who knew Him should become like Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build up each other. Folks, in the small group, we got to be encouragers. We got to lift up people. And how do we do that? In the course of this journey, I'm going to give you several ideas. But one of the ideas that I want you to know is by affirming each other. We need to be affirming each other. And when we do this, how do you affirm somebody? Accept them. How do you affirm somebody? Give them attention. How do you affirm somebody? Show them affection. How do you affirm somebody? Show them appreciation. You see, when we encourage people and we accept them, as Romans 15:7 says, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you. Galatians 6:10 said, give special attention to those who are the family of believers. Give special attention. Sometimes we don't give people the time of day, but God wants us to. Brothers and sisters in Christ, appreciate the hard work among you who led those who led you to the Lord and teach you, 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Now, the question is, what does God expect out of me? What did you come here for this morning? Did you come here, Mom and Daddy made me to? Or did you come here expecting? What does God really expect out of you? He expects out of each one of us to work out our salvation. A process delivering the mind, the emotion, the physical. He expects us to be in so intense with working out our salvation before God that we don't want to disappoint Him, that we are afraid of disappointing God. He wants that tension to be there so that God will be in His rightful position and with trembling and with quaking with fear, without grumbling or grudging or complaining or debating or questioning, nor with doubtful imagination. God wants us to get ready and work it out. Then He's going to give you the way. For instance, God said to the children of Israel, go in, take over Canaan, kill every man, woman, boy, and girl. You go get it. But He says, now when you go in there, remember, I'm not going to wipe them all out before you at one time for two reasons. He says, number one, He says, if I go in and wipe them all out before, if I just send a virus through there and I kill all the men, women, and all the men, women, and children through there, if I just did this because of their ungodliness, that's the reason He did it, it was the judgment of God. If I just did this, then He said the wild animals would take over the land. Secondly, He said, I'm not going to take it over because what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave area for you to go in there and fight and conquer so that you may prove your faith to me. So, for their benefit, God did not send a virus in there and wipe them all out. Listen, folks, all God has to do to wipe out a nation and say, bug, go get them. Some of you have experienced that the last few weeks, haven't you? Some of you were smiling at both ends. I mean, y'all are experiencing this bug. All they have to say is, bug, go get them. And listen, folks, He can take them out. But He doesn't. Now, let me ask you a question. God is seeking for you to work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. So what is He placed within your life that you wish it wasn't there. But it's causing you grief. And God's saying, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I want to know you love me. I want to know you love me more than them. What's God doing? God is wanting you as an individual to work out your salvation. Your small group is being called to change the world one person at a time, and prayer is a vital part in bringing vision into reality. You know one thing I started doing? I read after this guy, and he said what he does, he writes out his prayer. I don't know about y'all. I've told y'all before that when I pray, a lot of times I get sleepy. And so when I do this, now I've started writing out my prayers. And by doing that, I stay awake. But you know what else I discovered in doing this? How many people I didn't pray for. How many opportunities I missed. And then I also discovered, whoa, those that I did pray for. It begins to open up. One of the things in the small group that we ought to be praying for every one of the members by name in our small group. And so many times, if we're not conscious of it, it'll just move beyond us. Prayer. Scripture says praying for each other. By praying for each other, there's growth. Epaphroditus. Always pray for us that you will grow spiritually mature. Ephesians 3:18, I pray that you may be able to feel and understand how long and wide and deep, how Christ's love is really, and the experience of love is for ourselves. I pray that you always be eager to do right. Hebrews 13:21, I pray that God give you hope and you will have much joy and peace. You see, praying give wisdom. Praying, loving God. Praying give strength through the power. Praying for maturity. What is God wanting us to do? God is calling on us to work out our salvation and to encourage one another. And one of the ways we encourage one another is by prayer. But I also want you to recognize, how do you do it? How does one work out their salvation? I mean, give me some real concrete stuff that I can take home. Well, all I did is take out of this book of Philippians and say, here's something concrete. Work out with God. Work out your salvation. Work it out with God, who is the source of your salvation. You see? If you're going to work it out, then you got to connect to the source. You cannot work out your salvation without connecting to the source, and the source is the Lord Jesus Christ. Work it out. Connect to the source. Well, I don't know what the source is. Hey, He gave us 66 books. Wrote over a couple of thousand years by more than 40 authors. And He says, here, read this. It'll connect you to the source. And then not only did He do that, He says, work it out by the desire that He places in you. Did you know that He even puts it in your gut to do it? You see, you're not going to work out your salvation unless God tells you, this is what I want you to do. Whoa! That means it's not heartburn that I'm experiencing? No, it's not. It means God's talking to me. Work out. He puts in you both the will, that's the desire, and secondly, He works it out with the ability. He gives you the ability to carry it out. He doesn't tell you to do something. He doesn't help you, lead you, guide you, give you the build. God doesn't work that way. Work out your salvation because He put the desire in you and because He gave you the ability to do it. And then work it out for His pleasure. Oh, you mean I'm supposed to sweat drops of blood for Him? Yes. When the day is done, and the night has fallen, it's not about me. It's about Him. Work it out. Work it out. You remember a lady named Mary? She was probably 15 years old, 15, 16. Pretty hard life. She grew up in a little small town. We'd call it, almost call it just a little country village. Mary was falling in love with this guy. And she wanted to marry him. Parents said, it's okay. Parents said to the guy, okay, guy, you get a good job, you put some money back, and the two of you get married. And it's okay. And this guy said, all right, I'll do it. I'll do it. And he started doing it. But then another man came into the girl's life. The other man said, look, I got a big job for you to do. Here's the facts. This woman had only just a few minutes to give an answer. And she said, I'll do it. At the risk of losing the one that she loved, she says, I'll do it. She became pregnant. Society looked down on it. The man that she wanted to marry looked down on it. In fact, he loved her so much, he didn't want to go public with it. He just wanted to kind of sweep it under the carpet. Work it out. Mary and Joseph worked it out. And Mary became the mother of the Lord Jesus. What does God bring into your life? Work it out. Work it out. And so He tells us, God has challenged us to look into areas for His pleasure. God has given us the ability for the challenge. God puts you in the middle of this. God puts in the desire for a marriage to work out, and He gives the ability to work it out. God puts the desire for to start a new business, and He gives the ability to start that new business. God looks for one beggar to tell another beggar where to find food. That's a definition of salvation. God desires for small groups to meet the challenge in the community. We got to help each other. How are we going to help each other? If we're going to grow together, we're going to help each other. One of the ways that we do this is by admitting our mistakes. Listen, folks, there's not one person sitting in this room right here that hadn't made a mistake. No, let me clarify that. You made a bunch of mistakes. Everyone that's sitting down right now, I'm the only one standing. Everyone that's sitting down right now has made a bunch of mistakes. No, I made more than y'all. Okay. All those that's standing made more mistakes than those sitting. But what did He do? We need to confess up. We need to realize, folks, if we're going to help one another, we need to come clean. Ephesians 4:25 says, tell each other the truth because we belong to each other. Let's get truthful. And when we get truthful, you know what happens? Emotional healing takes place. Admit your faults one to another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. James 5:16. Emotional. You get a fresh start. Proverbs 28:13, anyone who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Whoa! You got a fresh start, but you got to admit. God gives the power to change. James 4:10, when you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on Him, God will lift you up and give you honor. And then there's a deep fellowship. 1 John 1:7, if we live in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. So, what is he saying here? Let's be an encourager. Let's confess up. Let's understand that we have messed up. But then, let's don't keep on messing up. Let's do something about it. Let's get up. That's the difference between hogs and men. A hog, you wash him up, you put a pretty pink ribbon on him, you pour some perfume on him, and you turn him out where there's some slop, and what's that hog going to do? He's going to run right back in and get in that slop pen and roll in it. But a man who's confessed up understands that the slop stinks. So he gets up and he takes his bath and he combs his hair and he puts on some good smelling stuff. And he looks at the slop and says, "No way." And he walks out and on with life. Confess up. Clean up. Stand up. Walk straight. Work out your own salvation. Now, why is it so important? Why is it so important for us to work out our salvation? The Scripture says very plainly, the world that we live in is crooked. In verse 15, as we read a while ago, he said, that you may be blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. In other words, the world is crooked. People are lying, people are stealing, and people are cheating. Do you know that some people will look you straight in the eye and lie to you just as though it was the truth, and every breath that they're breathing is a lie? Did you know that people will pat you on the back with one hand and stick their hand in your pocket with the other hand? Did you know people will say to other people just so that they can get their way? Listen, folks, we live in a crooked generation. And also, we live amongst a bunch of perverts. We are living in a perverted nation. Pervert! You know what I'm talking about. People are committing homosexual acts, adultery, murder. Some men are like horses braying in the pasture, looking at pornography. And virginity, being a virgin, is something to be conquered and not held up in honor. Listen, folks, there's a bunch of perversion going on. Our society is built. You don't think they're perverted? Try to deliver the mail and see what might happen. This last week, Flora was at work. All of a sudden, she saw cop cars, unmarked cop cars. Lights a flashing, rolling. She thought she was in a horror movie. She didn't know what was going on, but there was cars everywhere. Schools were locked down. Nurseries were locked down for safety reasons, and they should have been locked down. But then my grandson goes home. He goes to his drawer and he pulls out knives and he puts in his pocket. When it comes time to feed the horses, he said, "Daddy, will you go with me?" "Daddy, will you go with me?" "Why, son?" "Daddy, will you go with me?" Listen, folks, we live in a crooked nation. Bunch of perverts. And what is the only solution to this? That's light. We live in a dark world and the only solution is light. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Work it out, folks. Work it out. The only hope that we have is Jesus Christ. And we need to work it out. So the Scripture says in verse 16, 15, he says, among whom you shine as lights in this world. And verse 16 says, holding fast the word of life. What is the answer? We got to hold on to the word. Listen, folks, if you're going to work out your salvation, then you got to work it out in the word of life. You try to work it out on your own, probability is you don't have it in the first place. Because you cannot work out your salvation outside of the word of life. There is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. There is no salvation outside of the word of God. And you can't work out something that you don't have. That's the reason why when some people come to church and they act like people of the world, it's because they are people of the world. And we expect them to act like believers when they're not believers. We expect them to have the power and the ability to overcome and to work out their salvation when they don't have salvation. They do what comes natural to them. They need the Word. How are we going to help them? How are we going to help people in our small groups? How are we going to put all this together? We help each other by encouraging each other with commitment. We got to encourage each other. In other words, 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, keep yourself in training for a godly life. Folks, if you're not working your salvation out every day, you're getting flabby. Y'all know what flabby means? Boy, this is get the time I get to brag about losing weight. We get flabby. Just 3 months ago, I couldn't go out with Franco back here and cut down the brush without about every 10 minutes grabbing everything of breath in my life. I normally tell Franco, I said, Franco, this saw's getting hot, isn't it? And old Franco, just look at me. Why? Because I was carrying around 5 10-pound babies. I dropped 2 of the 5 10-pound babies. And you know what? I can go out there and work with Franco now. I may not keep up with him all the way, but I can work with him. It's not 10 minutes now, that chainsaw. It don't get hot for about 30 minutes now. I mean, look, life changes. What about your salvation? Sometimes we get so fat, we can't do nothing without gasping for air. Work it out, folks. Tune it up. Get it right. Then you can stay the course. The world will feed you junk food every day of your life. You walk into the house and if it's silent, you turn on the boob tube so that you got sound in your ear. You get in the car and you turn on the radio. You start walking down the road and you put in the earphone with your iPod. Man, you're never without noise. Satan will get you so flabby that you won't ever have time just to listen to God because you are filled with junk food. What does he want? He wants us to tune it up. How do we do that? We commit to love Jesus Christ. We commit to love one another. We commit to grow in God's Word. We commit to serve in ministry. We commit to share the good news. So what do? We grab hold of that song that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. And I dare not trust in the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is seeking sand. All other ground is seeking sand. So God's calling you this morning to work it out. Work it out. That's what He's saying for us this morning, that we need to work it out. Folks, and this time right now is so important. Sunday a week ago, Darwin Holloman was with his wife, and they were at the restaurant. 8 days later, his wife was in eternity. This past week. Got an email from Susan Wolf, our missionaries down in Cameroon, a work associate. 1 week earlier, she was well, she was healthy. She got to feeling a little bad. She fainted. She had a virus. Took her to a hospital. They recognized she was septic. They flew her to Johannesburg, South Africa. She looked like she was getting better. And she died. 1 week. Listen, folks. We don't have much time to work it out. We've got to come to the end. So today, we must work it out in our small groups. Today, saved man, work it out. Discouraged wife, work it out. Financially depressed, work it out. Socially depraved, work it out. Student in class, work it out. For the Scripture says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and without disputing." Do all things. Meaning, work it out. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You, we want to work it out this morning. We want to work it out, Lord. Our salvation, it's dependent, Lord, on our connection with You. It's dependent on God, the desire that You put on our heart, the ability that You give us for Your pleasures, the motivation. That's the reason, the purpose. It's for You, God. But help us to build with the intensity. Let us work it out with fear and with trembling. We do not want to disappoint our Maker, our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, help us to work it out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What about it, folks? What about it? Are we ready to work it out? Are we ready? You know what the need is. The Holy Spirit's putting something in your heart. If He doesn't put it in your heart, then you don't have a need right now. But if the Holy Spirit puts it in your heart that you have a need right now, then it's time to do something about it. It's time to work it out. Work it out. What does God want you to do during this time of the invitation? Prayer altar's open. I'm standing here. What's God telling you? How's He wanting you to work it out this morning? Let's stand together and sing a hymn. Thank you for the invitation to come home to you, Lord. Father, today we join together to be encouragers of one another. We confess to you, Lord, that we need one another. We're thankful, Father, that you've brought us together so that we can love one another. And we pray now for the body of Christ to be encouraged. Help us to help each other as we work out our salvation. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you so much.